Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Orbit Gaming and Entertainment wants to take gaming on television to new heights and hired former CNBC, NBC Cable, and TiVo top executive Tom Rogers to be a big role player in that quest. The new executive chairman at Orbit and company president and chief executive Ashi Kusha will join me next in an internet radio exclusive. It's been a long, very long ride for Peggy Dodson to put her TV enterprise, UBC TV Network, in motion. The ride is over, with UBC playing now through smart TV sets and devices. We'll reconnect with UBC's president and chief executive next half hour. Also ahead, Fireside finally lands a smart TV space, Talk TV bounces back, our classic TV question, the sustainable TV scam, that's your takeaway of the week, and a live tune Sunday special in Toy Story style on Disney Plus and ESPN Plus. That's our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, speaker and tune-in radio. I present the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our first half hour is brought to you today by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being. 61 heavy rainy degrees here in the Big Apple. On this Friday afternoon, we welcome you wherever you are in the Chrome Live TV's current and future. We'll have an update on the weather shortly for those of you in the Big Apple and those of you outside. We have some wonderful guests coming your way over the next 90 minutes. We invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Just pick up the phone from anywhere you are and make the call at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Or you can use our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Just click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio speaker tune-in screen. Follow those instructions. Hope to be live with you. We will have news notes coming your way because of the situation with the rain. We'll get to in a few moments at the top of the second hour. And Tom Rogers and Ash Kusha from Orbit Gaming Entertainment will join us from various locations shortly. But right now, we want to give you the latest on the situation. As you may know, we have a state of emergency here in the greater New York metropolitan area because of an incredible deluge of rain for several factors. It started late yesterday afternoon, kept on going overnight this morning, and it's still going on this afternoon. Right now, according to the Weather Channel, here's the deal. We are expecting more heavy rain here in the New York metro area, also in Connecticut, also in New England, until 4 p.m. Eastern time, at least here in the New York metro area. Then we go to showers from like 5 to 8 p.m. tonight, that's Eastern time, and then a mix of rain and showers from 9 p.m. until at least 1 p.m. tomorrow morning. If you are in the New York City area, you are still advised under a state of emergency not to go out if you don't need to. If you do, use mass transit. If you are looking to go to an event tonight, check the web page or the Facebook page of the event you're going to make sure it is on. A lot of things will be canceled. I understand schools were open for the most part today. If you are going to the airport, again, check your local carrier somehow, some way to find out if the flight is scheduled to go on or if it's been delayed or canceled, and you will save yourself a lot of headache. And if you are listening to us outside the New York metro area, if you don't need to travel to New York, I would suggest you don't. Hold off until tomorrow afternoon at the earliest to do your thing. And then, of course, check in with your carrier, whether it's airplane, bus, or train, to make sure that the travel is going and give yourself some extra time in any event. All right. Again, we will have news notes for you at the top of the second hour. But right now, let's introduce our internet radio exclusive guest. First up, the former head of CNBC, NBC Cable, and TiVo. He is the new executive chairperson of Orbit Gaming Entertainment. It is Tom Rogers. Tom, it is great to finally have you on our program.
Simon, great to be part of it. I must add to your weather report that I was at Grand Central Station, and every train was canceled going out of Grand Central 3 hours ago, and I believe suspension still in effect. So your warnings are very important.
Thank you very much, Tom, and thank you for making the time. I know that you are en route somewhere. You pulled over the side of the road, so I really do appreciate that you were able to film him to being here. And Ash is joining us from Menlo Park, California. How is the weather out there, Ash?
Well, thanks for having me. It's great out here. Tom, I hope you're safe. I've been seeing some videos, and I'm quite shocked because I was just in New York, and it's kind of a turn of events there. Yeah, but it's very nice over here.
Tom, why did you take this role of being the executive chairperson at Ash's company?
Well, first and foremost, Ash, brilliant entrepreneur who has really established something that is terribly exciting. As you know, Simon, I've operated at the cutting edge of a lot of things, always looking for where the media industry was going. It was cable in the early 80s, and TiVo really ushered in on-demand television, and we were the first ones to stream Netflix and Amazon to the TV set, getting the whole era that we're now in. I explored gaming through my last public company, which I sold a few months ago, Engine Gaming and Media, where gaming had clearly overtaken television, not only in terms of being a bigger industry today, but in terms of where younger demographics are spending time, clearly the central focus of entertainment in that demographic. The ability to combine streaming and gaming and a whole new treasure trove of content that Ash has figured out how to open up through Orbit, I think takes gaming and streaming to a whole new dimension. And I found it an incredibly exciting new frontier to help build this company with.
Ash, we now have Samsung, we have LG now with game hubs that allow you to use your to put play really high quality games on your smart TV set or device without a PlayStation, without an Xbox or another console. You either use your voice remote, or a joystick to aim at the TV screen. We know that Roku is now playing versions of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, where you use your voice to dictate the action. What is Orbit's role in terms of fostering what, as Tom was just said, a new dimension of television watching and television game playing?
Yeah, sure. We looked at the creation of content as a process, and in the last 20 years, how video has moved on stage to stage to stage, from big production to digital camera production to home video to mobile sensor. And the same way video games have moved from proprietary engine to commercial engine to bedroom producers of very high quality video games. And for us, that meant a new opportunity where an open architecture for hosting and streaming games will allow a lot of good content that otherwise would not be seen to come into televisions, into living rooms, and consumers at a mass scale can get exposed to things that they wouldn't have never had access to, as well as the fact that interactive media, interactive entertainment was never a part of television other than console and the route from the legacy gaming industry. And that's where we come in. That's where we bring a fast-paced and large-scale adoption of interactive content that users can engage with, socialize over, and they can use their televisions to do so.
And Ash, is smart. Have you made a deal with a smart TV set maker or a device maker to get your games on their products?
At the moment, we are partners with LG, and the mission with LG is to bring these new types of content, which some projects and some companies call the metaverse and metaverse projects, as well as some gaming into LG TVs. And what we use, which is very interesting, is that we're using the remote control that LG offers with their TV sets to be able to control new types of games and in a hyper-casual and casual way. Using the big screen quality that LG has, we are sort of changing the narrative where users have a low barrier to entry to very high quality of graphics, and they enjoy it from their sofa holding a remote control, and they can switch between content very easily.
Mm-hmm. Tom, what do you think about this growing field where you can, again, use the smart TV set as your without the console as your way to play video games? Do you see this as being a primary way, a secondary way, especially with the younger crowd like Gen Z, Gen Alpha, and so forth?
Well, very much so. I think Netflix in announcing that gaming was going to be a very significant part of its overall offering, really began to focus the television industry on games to the TV, one, and two, just how important games were to younger demographics that were watching less and less television and spending more and more time on games. Just to be very clear about what Orbit offers, there are a huge number of really high quality games, I mean AAA quality games, that are not quite as long form as the games you hear coming out of studios like EA or Activision or Take-Two. They tend to be really high quality, but somewhat shorter. But the developers themselves who develop these great games haven't gone through the lengthy regulatory process of getting certification for being able to be part of the Xbox environment or the PlayStation environment. And so these games exist but have a very tough time being accessed by most gamers. Similarly, they probably haven't gone through the certification process of the major stores where they might be able to buy these online and be able to access them that way. So these are great games, high-quality games, but no clear path to the consumer. And what Orbit has done through the genius of Ash and his brother, Puya, who's the chief technology officer here, is figured out not only that this is a whole new array of content that is generally not available, but figured out a way to distribute it directly to the consumer, directly to the television set, through what's called a multi-cloud path, meaning you're not just using Google's cloud or Amazon's cloud or Microsoft's cloud, but defining the best, cheapest, fastest way for those games which can't easily be accessed to get directly to the consumer, right to the TV set. And what's really amazing about it is you just click and play. There's no meaningful loading time. You don't have to sit there waiting for the whole thing to download. It can have the immediate experience, and when you have that immediate experience, it's really high-quality resolution with the kind of interactivity that really makes the gaming experience sing. So the combination of all that opens up this direct consumer access for a whole bunch of new content, get it to the TV, and do it in a way which is a better experience than you can have in any other way. So it's really a remarkable achievement.
You are hearing the two key people behind Orbit Gaming and Entertainment, Tom Rogers, the new executive chairperson, and Ash Kusa. He is the president, chief executive officer, and they're both with us live from somewhere in the New York metropolitan area to Menlo Park, California. So we got the east-west yin-yang going right here this afternoon on Tomorrow We Televise. Happy to have you aboard from wherever you are. And for those of you here in the New York City metro area and New England, hang in there with the heavy rain and showers on and off. Simon Abbott with you live from inside the Big Apple, where it is raining and 61 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We will start October on Monday with a big 90-minute edition. My lead guest will be the executive producer of Let's Make a Deal, which this week started year 15 on CBS, John Quinn. He's back with us, and we'll also talk about not only the season 15, which I believe is the first with a full live audience since the pandemic, but also primetime specials coming to CBS later this fall. That's our lead guest. And then you'll meet someone by the name of Eric Baer, B-E-A-R, yes, like the grizzly. He is the star and the creator of a very unique cutting-edge animated series called Belonging, coming to Apple TV, I believe it's the Apple TV set-top, not Apple TV Plus, next week. Wait till you hear what he's done in the technology field to make that series happen. And finally, on Monday, in the Black Network, whose head you heard earlier this month on this program, James DeVos, formerly of Fox Soul, it premieres on Monday. And we'll have the executive producers of one of the first original series that will premiere on Monday. It's called Crowded. It's a panel show starring Vivica A. Fox and others. We'll speak with executive producers Dr. Celicia Thompson and Jerome Trammell. That's all Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Do you think, Ash, that, because you mentioned the metaverse before, that it's time to finally say, hey, the metaverse can be a TV thing as well as a smartphone thing, a tablet thing, a mobile thing?
Yeah, I think the output device, the interface, will take different shapes and forms. And companies like Meta are investing heavily in 3D spaces and embodiment. And we think there are exciting screens with very high quality out there for the consumer that have not been merged enough with accessible gaming. And TV screens play a large role in the industry. A large percentage of TV and movie streaming on Netflix is consumed on TV screens, right? So that's where the user is in the time during the day at the time they want to be entertained. So I think even if we think there will be a metaverse in the future where there are connected worlds that are persistent, and these are gaming worlds, by the way, I think the living room and TVs will play a very huge role in the consumption of these experiences.
Tom, in addition to your work now with Orbit, Jason Kilar, the former head of Hulu, as well as Vessel, and then lately Walder Media, now Warner Bros. Discovery, he has just been named to the board of Roblox, which is one of the hottest things going on the web, as well as in smartphones and so forth. Do you think that we may soon see Roblox become a smart TV or a TV venture, the way that Twitch, for example, is now available to play on your smart TV set through Samsung?
Yeah, I just read that Roblox has this idea of getting their feed of games to become similar to TikTok, to social media. So that long, continuous feed and live service speaks to what you just said, which there are strategies in the future of making it more simple and easier to access worlds of Roblox. And their recent announcement of release on Meta Quest is also speaking to that narrative. And I think, yes, we're definitely moving into a new phase of interactive entertainment and a little bit beyond the legacy gaming models, because there is a high opportunity to spend less, have lower risk in production of games, and higher reward both for the user, for the consumer, advertisers involved, brands, and beyond. And this is a new industry that we will see sort of get unlocked in the next 10 years or so, or within the 10 years.
Tom, what do you think? Do you think, as Ash seems to believe, that Roblox also will become a television service, the way that Twitch is now, as I said, playable on Samsung?
Well, I think what's really innovative here is that it's not just games to the television. Simple games have been on the television for a while. And having a console that can display games on the television set is nothing new. It is that you can get heavy software, so to speak, sophisticated, high graphics, big resolution games straight to the TV. And the more complex Roblox gets, the more AI is a way of developing heavy software, intricate, high-resolution, major interactivity games. What Orbit has developed is a way to get that directly to the TV, directly connecting the developer to the consumer without needing the middleman of the console in between. And so, yes, I can see Roblox and all kinds of sophisticated software implementations getting right to the consumer. And it's almost as if you've created, if it was the traditional television world, somebody being able to produce something and getting it right to the consumer without having to go through a television network or a television channel. And this opens up all kinds of greater incentives for the developer to be able to create, because he's not inhibited with barriers that are put in place by other players in the gaming marketplace that don't allow for the free flow of great gaming directly to the consumer. So that's a major innovation. Will create a lot of incentive for more development, will create a really low-cost path for television to be smack in the middle of the gaming industry.
Tom, staying with you, let's go bigger picture on this. Is it now fair to say that artificial intelligence, which now is in critical mass in many smart TV sets and devices that allow, for example, Alexa or Siri or Dual Assistant, other audio features, allowing you to control the television set with your voice remote, with things like the joystick in terms of games. Is it fair to say that AI is now the consumer-friendly trigger that is going to usher in, maybe sooner than we all think, the era of interactive television that people have been talking about, trying to have happen for decades?
Well, I think there are two elements of interactive television. One is the content and one is the means of distribution. As Ash and I have been laying out, Orbit creates a distribution technology that makes for easy, high-resolution interactivity to get right to the television set without intricate barriers that limit that possibility. The second issue is what kind of content is going to be developed that will really make the interactive experience more interesting and more intriguing. Gaming is the leading edge of that because that's where the most sophisticated, most entertaining, truly interactive content has developed. AI will be a basis, I think, for also highly sophisticated, intricate software with display resolution that's a perfect match for the television set to develop, and it could take any number of directions beyond gaming itself. And having the kind of multi-cloud virtual distribution network that Orbit provides for the distribution of that kind of content to the TV, I think will have a lot to do with ushering in that era. So another very important point for how I think Orbit can make a major contribution to your point, Simon, that AI is going to be a bigger deal for the TV in the future.
Ash, The Last of Us has become one of the big hit shows of the year, off its video game roots on HBO, going to a second season. Hopefully the production will start now that the writers are back in action. Hopefully sooner than later the actors will be back in action too. Is that part of your game plan as a company, is to, let's say, take some of your titles and or some of your projects and turn them into TV, a live-action TV?
I think this will happen inevitably, where there are a lot of short-form games that are coming from the younger community of creators, and they will naturally create stories on social media that eventually become stories in fantasy sort of franchises, and IP will travel across these smaller games into bigger production. So this is the other way. This is happening as opposed to the old legacy model. This is happening similar to what video does, is where you have YouTube influencers making videos, and those influences might inform the next big movies and vice versa. I think IP traveling across games and across media, which is the new transmedia world we live in, it's going to be naturally
Yeah, Ash, go ahead. Oh, Ash has dropped. Tom, Ash dropped. Hopefully, Ash, if you're hearing us, call back. We'll get you on. Tom, I only have a couple more minutes left with you. What do you see, apart from gaming, as the big picture for television going forward? Interactivity? What else do you see in your crystal ball? Because when I watched you on CNBC, when you're interviewed by their correspondents, you always seem to have a sense of where things are going. So what is, you know, apart from gaming, what is your radar screen telling you about what's coming up in television?
Well, the big thing in social media has been creator content. Social media has opened up a world of creators who are putting together content that drives very substantial audiences. Obviously, much of that content tends to skew much younger. What I think we're going to enter into an era with AI in particular is a era of creator content in the television world, meaning sophisticated, high resolution, looking like it's professionally produced, but going way beyond where cable channels have been, way beyond where streaming channels have been, which are just another way of distributing professional TV content, beyond where fast channels are, which is often taking library content and distributing it for free for streaming, into a world of creator content where the capability of AI allows for television to be a place for the distribution of highly produced AI-looking stuff that begins to be analogous to what's developed in the social media world among creators there.
Tom, I understand you have something to get to at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to let you go. I will ask one more question. Tom, thank you very much for taking the time amid the craziness here, weather-wise here in the Ohio metro area. All the very best to you. Congrats on your new role with Organ. I hope we get a chance to go face-to-face soon. It's been a delightful pleasure to have you finally on the program.
Thanks for having me. Stay dry.
All right, you too, Tom. Take care. All the greatest. Have a super weekend.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Tom Rogers, the new executive chairperson of Orbit, joining us live from somewhere on the road in the New York metro area. And Ash, before you wrap up with us, tell us about how you're promoting your company. When will we see, for example, the opportunity to see what Orbit is doing in person here in New York? How are you getting what you're doing across the people?
Yeah, so we've started with the West Coast and East Coast consumers and creators at the beginning. We're testing with the early adopters, and right now we're in trial mode with TV as well. And in early 2024, we have a larger scale operation across the United States, and hopefully by end of the next year, we will reach regions outside of the United States. And for the first time, I think we're one of the companies that care a lot more about the states that previously did not have immediate access to data centers that could cover such high quality of content in gaming. And hopefully this will excite a lot of users that previously did not have access to streaming gaming content.
Are there any plans to showcase Orbit in some way here in New York at some of the upcoming events like Ad Week New York, NAB Show New York, Urban World, and any of the upcoming conferences between now and end of the year?
For sure. Even though they're not confirmed, but yes, we have a few plans, and we will announce them on our social media accounts.
If you want to know more about Orbit Gaming and Entertainment, here's where you go online, www.orbit, that's O-O-R-B-I-T.com, www.orbit.com. Ash, thanks to you. Thanks to Tom for being with us. Congratulations on what you're up to. I hope we can see a demo soon in person here in New York, and we would love to, as you get your national rollout going on the smart TV set world, to have both you and Tom back. Thank you so much
for
making the time, along with Tom, to come on today.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Have a super weekend. Ash Kusha joining us live from Menlo Park, California, the President Chief Executive Officer of Orbit Gaming Entertainment. Also thanks to Tom Rogers, the new Executive Chairperson of that venture, for joining us as well, despite the crazy heavy rain happening here as we speak in the New York metro area. More tomorrow will be televised coming away, but first let's give you this message from Liquid IV. Here is a new wellness routine that is easy to take, and it keeps you in hydrated shape. It's Liquid IV, a great-tasting drink mix in stick form that, when you add with water, delivers hydration to your body faster and more efficiently than water alone. What's more, you get five essential vitamins, B3, 5, 6, 12, and vitamin C, and three times the electrolytes of traditional smart drinks. There's 12 flavors to drink, all delicious and refreshing, like Concord Grape, Passion Fruit, and Watermelon. Liquid IV is gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. So go to liquidiv.com to order, and you get 20% off using the promo code TELEVISE at checkout. 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TELEVISE, T-L-E-V-I-S-E-D, at liquidiv.com. Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures. When we come back, we're welcoming back a guest who, at the time she was with us several years ago, was out to get a network called UBC TV off the ground. This past summer, it finally got off the ground through smart TV sets and devices. Peggy Dobson will rejoin us from here in New York after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the Hypnotic Show, That's this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's with great music and fun. The Hypnotic Show, Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, Best DJ 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our middle half hour of this 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised, coming away from a very soggy New York City. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live along for the ride from New York, 61 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Another great guest coming away this 30 minutes. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This half hour of our program is brought to you by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. When the person you're about to hear was on this program quite a long time ago, she was out to get a network on the air that would cater to urban audiences and people of color, UBC-TV. She got the network on the air for a short time, and then a few things happened, including the pandemic. This past July, thanks to a multi-channel bundle called Freecast, one of the biggest around, UBC-TV Network is finally on the air and available to you through smart TV sets and devices. Joining us live from Harlem, NYC, the president, entrepreneur, and chief executive of UBC, we welcome back Peggy Dodson. Peggy, great to have you back.
Thank you, Simon. How are you? I'm great to be here.
Very, very well, thank you. How did UBC, your venture, finally get on the air?
Well, you know, I think that technology caught up with me. I think technology caught up with my vision. Because I've always have always wanted to have a multiple platforms type of television. As you know, my background is technology, and I was one of the first African-American women, one of three in 2000 that was in the technology world. We made the cover of Black Enterprise. So I've always been into that. But, you know, Bob Johnson told me many years ago that if I wanted to go into cable, it would cost me like $500 million. So I said, okay, I did my famous Amos thing, Simon, and I said, start where you are. And that's what I did. And I kept building and building and building and building, creating content and doing deals with Comcast, with historical black college football and NCAA sports, and getting my feet wet in live TV, and having great mentors from CBS and Fox that have you know, helped me throughout the years and saying, Peggy, you're doing the right thing. And just being able to weather the storm, Simon, and just being able to, knowing that technology one day was going to catch up with content because it was inevitable.
Was there ever a point, before we get to how you met Freecast, was there ever a point, especially during the pandemic, where the voice inside your head was saying loud and clear, Peggy, it ain't going to happen. You can't do this. Forces won't let you. Pandemic won't let you. Did it ever reach the point where you almost was on the precipice, on the cliff of, yeah, somebody else will do this, not me?
Yeah, well, that happened way before that time. That happened way before that time. You know, what happened during the pandemic was people began to watch more video. So that kind of helped a lot in what my endeavors was because people were watching cable, but, you know, during the pandemic, people just was on, they were streaming all over the place. You had Zoom replacing TV shows because then no one was in production. So it became a normal thing for people to begin to stream more. I think streaming increased 1,000% during the pandemic, which helped me to move forward with actually then getting a deal with a company called Glue TV. We're still with them. We have a video on demand. I said, let's go video on demand and time to leave the website, time to go out into the connected TV world. And so we got there and we got a great response because the timing, people really right now are into original content, and they really are not into reruns and things of that nature. And the urban market, the platforms are looking for original urban multicultural content right now. It is the number one thing that they are looking for and that there are ad dollars for. So that was a beginning trend that began happening. So, yeah, I was at the precipice. Oh, my God. Maybe 2019 was just a phenomenal year for us. And then, like you said, COVID happened. We were on the way to, God, one of the best years that we've ever had. And COVID just shut everything down. It just shut everything down. And I had to pull myself together and kind of innovate and say, Peggy, what are you going to do? You know, you still have a very viable company, and don't give up. You know, Simon, the most important thing for me that I've done is never giving up. And so by never giving up, your time will always come at the bat. And so that's what I've done. That's what I've done.
Taking Jim Valvano's thoughts to heart, you know, don't give up, don't ever give up. So how did Freecast enter the picture? My understanding is that Freecast is one of the biggest multi-channel bundles now playing a smart TV set. I think it's what, I checked their website, 700-plus channels, which is astounding.
Yes, yes, it is. It really is astounding. I happen to, you know, when you're in this industry, you know, Simon, like you and I for a while, you meet people. And I have, like I said, I have mentors. And I had a company, that's representing me. And they were the ones that pushed me. I was in VOD, and they said, Peggy, it's time for you to go 24 hours. It's time for you to go 24 hours. And I said, oh, my God, 24 hours is a lot of time. It's 7 days a week and all of that. And I was really scared. And then something said, Peggy, it's time to jump into that, throw your hat into the ring. And we ended up getting to Freecast through a company that represents me. We talked, and then we went away for a couple of months, and then we came back together. And at that time, Freecast is really a phenomenal platform. They really are. They're doing something that a lot of platforms are not doing. They're giving you the opportunity to watch all that you are watching in one place, you know. And so they're an innovative company as well. So we kind of really fit together. So I talked to the VP, and we ended up doing a letter of intent and signing a deal. And at NAB in Las Vegas, I ended up meeting the CEO. And we just it was a love fest, because he's just as innovative and daring as I am. And it's so interesting when you meet certain CEOs of companies, we're sort of like gunslingers. The people that work below us are like really traditional, but we have the opportunity to be creative and doing things that no one else has done before. And so Mr. Mobley has created software and made a lot of money. He loves sport, so he was very, very interested in the lineup that I have with Rucker Basketball and how I was able to acquire just all original content. That's another feat in itself. And so we ended up cutting a deal, and I ended up doing my own play out where we actually control our own ad inventory. We cut deals with the platforms that we have and the ones that are coming because we have more that are coming. But it gives me an opportunity to control the narrative of the storytelling that we want to do as a network and as a company. So it's really, they're giving us the opportunity to spread our wings. And they're growing as well. I think they have 13 million more subscribers or people coming on board this month. So they're doing things as well to help give people like myself and companies like myself a exposure into the marketplace and to get us ready for a Pluto or the next big thing that's coming to us.
Side note, we are attempting to get Freecast leaders on this program because in checking their website, their press releases, they have a lot of new networks like Peggy's that are doing some very interesting things in original programming, both scripted and unscripted. So we are sending that open invite to Freecast so it's at some point come on the air. Peggy Dodson, the president and CEO of UBC TV Network, is with us this half hour on Smart Be Televised. Her channel is now running on Freecast, which is available on Apple TV, on TV sets with Android plus the operating system. Android TV is the operating system. Amazon Fire TV, Samsung, LG, and other smart TV sets, device makers, as well as other multi-channel bundles still to come. If you have a question or comment for Peggy, ring that call in, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Three episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised will welcome your October next week. And on the first one on Monday, 90-minute edition, we'll lead off with John Quinn, the executive producer of Let's Make a Deal on CBS. This past week started year 15 with Wayne Brady as the host. Primetime special is coming up later in the fall, and John will be our lead guest. Then, the creator and star of the new unusual animated series, Belonging, Eric Baer. His series premieres next week on Apple TV. I believe it's the set-top box on Apple TV+. And finally, from In the Black Network's new series, Crown, that premieres on Monday, we'll have executive producers Dr. Celicia Thompson and Jerome Trammer. All here for you, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, Monday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So, Peggy, now that UBC is up and running, what can people find when they watch it?
Well, you can basically find a channel that, like a network. You know, my background is broadcast. So for me, it was not just about doing a themed network or a themed channel, because that's one-dimensional. What UBC TV is a multi-dimensional channel. I call it a network. And the types of programming you will be able to see on UBC TV, of course, would be sports. We have record basketball. We just picked up Hoop It Up, Kevin Garnett's broadcast rights for Hoop It Up HBCU tournament for next year. That's really a big deal for us in the sports world. We have the Global Women Basketball Association. So I have the rights to complete leagues, which is really exciting for me to be able to build the network. We also have some original hip-hop shows. We have fashion. We have food. We have something called City Vines. We have health and wellness. And I wanted to do something with small business. So it's and we have comedy as well. So we're actually getting ready to welcome a major police drama to our lineup this fall. And it's an African American police drama based shot here in New York City called Bum Rush. So there hasn't been a drama on television that starred an African American police officer since, I think, Malik Yoruba. So we are going into that drama. We have films from Africa, feature films. We have wonderful feature films that are in English from the continent of Africa, which are just really we're debuting that as well. And we have an LGBTQ program. So Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I mean, I'm talking about your show now, which we are welcoming on. I just spilled the beans on that. I'm sorry, I spilled the beans.
Yeah,
on
I do
show.
Want to jump in for a second, just let everybody know that when you were on our program last time, that we were talking about the idea of Tomorrow Will Be Televised doing a simulcast or a special version of the show on your network. And finally up and running, we will explore that. And before we get into trouble with CBS, either you or I, we should point out that East New York, the TV series that premiered last year and was shot in the Ocean Hill-Brownsville section of Brooklyn, that did have an African-American in the lead role. So we should point. And Jimmy Smith's also playing a police commissioner. So I do want to bring that back to light before we hear from CBS. Thing. What did you say?
I will hear from my mentors at CBS. Because CBS is, I have major mentors at CBS that helped me. But
rush on the program. So when you please let us know when that series premieres, because we'd be very happy to have the creator or executive producer on the show.
Oh yes, he's brilliant. He's really, really brilliant. They are just doing some really great things. And Simon, that's one of the exciting things that I've been able to do is curate content from really some really good original sources out here. There's so much talent out here, and that has not even been scratched yet. And so what we're looking to do is to give a lot of the producers and content creators the opportunity to be on a major platform with their content and to give them an opportunity to be exposed to a larger audience and with UBC TV behind it. Because what happens is that the platforms that we are in contract with, they also promote, you know, our network and our shows as well. I make sure that happens in every agreement that I have. And it's easier for them to be with us than them being one single show somewhere on Roku amongst 16,000 shows or 800 shows. and we get the opportunity to really push them out there. So I've been able to curate some really great content, all original content, by the way. Everything we have is original. And there's no
Have you heard from writers or actors who have said the following: I would love to do a scripted series or an unscripted series with you, and I can't make a commitment now because of the writer's strike or because of the ongoing Screen Actors Guild strike. And now that the writer's strike is settled, and the Screen Actors Guild, will see what happens next week when they meet with AMPTP, the TV Film Producers Alliance, to get maybe hopefully a contract going. Have you heard from some of those people saying, well, now that the environment has shifted, let's talk about doing a scripted show or an unscripted show?
Yes, and since things have just begun to get back, I think people are just beginning to get acclimated again because, you know, the industry has changed. You know, since the strike, it has really changed. And actually, there are many more opportunities for me. And yes, I have been actually approached by actors who are SAG after actors, and they're saying, listen, I would love to be, love to do something with UBC TV. So it has opened up the floodgates for me with a lot of people that are looking at other alternatives now. Because before they were just in this, you know, this genre that they were in, and now they're looking at, let's look at something else where there's more opportunities for me to utilize my talents. And yes, that has happened. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. How is advertising going? How are you making out with national advertisers or local and is there a local advertising possibility too?
Yeah, by the way, yeah, it's so interesting how people are now coming to us for advertising. I'm starting. It's a wild, mad world. With Glue TV, we've always. It was like a landing strip for us. It was a takeoff strip. You know, you have to invest things in things. But with this right here, with the 24-hour channel, we have an in-house ad sales team. And we actually have people calling us up, getting calls every day or today saying, we would like to advertise our product on your channel. And how do we do that? And so I have several right now, and we've actually cut deals to do things. So I'm looking to the future very excited because, you know, I think that there are a lot of regional companies and smaller businesses who are looking to get access to platforms and to be tied to an urban platform, which is different. You know, because you have a certain audience. As you know, the urban multicultural market is a multi-trillion-dollar market. And right now in the connected TV space and fast channels, there's not enough of us out here. We're, one of the very few handfuls that are out here in this space right now. And there's much, much more money out here than there are properties. So I'm working very hard now to get to those pots of money. And we do have an SSP that I've done a deal with. It's called Colossus. Colossus is a public company based out of Houston. They're the only African-American-owned public ad company that's in the space right now, and they're cutting deals with major entities, 6 and 7 figures, because the corporations now are looking for urban multicultural content, and particularly, Simon, original. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for something that's relevant. They're looking for something that, and I was in a conversation yesterday with some people in the television industry in Midtown. People are looking for things that they can tie in their ads to and their products to that's not really overly controversial. Something that could really benefit their product instead of things that are negative and all of that. I think because of the George Floyd thing and all of that, we had a lot more sensitivity to culture and race. And so you have a lot of companies now saying, you know, we need to do better. You know, we need to do better in reference to African American and Black content and networks that are out here, and we need to do better because we know that we have a $4 trillion buying power, but yet we're still today underrepresented. We're really underrepresented, and I'm hoping that UBCTV will be one of the ones that will be able to help fill that void because of our diverse programming lineup. Because we have content that's positive, we have content that's a little edgy, we have music, you know, we have original music, we have a diverse lineup, and I built it like this because I come from watching broadcast TV when I was a kid, you know, so for me cable was great, but, you know, I really like to look at a network with comedy one night, drama another night, sports another night. You know, it really kind of gives you a balance, and it gives you the opportunity for you to have more viewers because everyone's going to watch the Netflix, everyone's going to watch Hulu and do all of that. But if someone says, I'm going to watch Netflix, I'm going to watch Hulu, I'm going to watch Discovery, but tonight I'm watching UBC TV because they have that great drama, that's what it's all about for me. Because that is what's going to bring viewers to us and make us a household name.
In a moment, we'll ask Peggy, now that UBC is up and running, whether a second project she's long wanted to do will finally happen and when. Peggy Dodson from UBC TV Network, she is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, live from Harlem in Nueva York. Simon, I'm with you in another part of the Big Apple here this Friday afternoon on the program All About TV's Current and Future. Thanks for joining us wherever you are. And everybody in New York City and Connecticut, Long Island, parts of New Jersey, upstate New York, New England, dealing with this very heavy batch of rain. Hang in there. Hopefully by tomorrow afternoon, it all goes away for good. And if a question or comment for Peggy, our many moments with her, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, you can read my columns about the world of television at MediaDose.com, the media leadership website run by Jack Myers. And you can see me on midweek. On Sports News Wire, the daily sports news information show hosted by Craig out of Florida, yours truly from the Renaissance Hotel in New York. I do a TV sports segment every week. Check it out, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, Amazon Freevee, and other multi-channel bundles. I know that for a long time, you've also wanted to do an urban home shopping channel. Where is that now that UBC TV is up?
Well, where is it? It's in a wonderful place. Yes, I've always wanted to do shopping. And it's so interesting how this is really is coming to the forefront right now. I think YouTube is really investing a lot in shopping. TikTok is doing a lot in shopping because of the fragmented segments we have. I wanted to do something that was based around small and medium-sized companies that didn't have a million or products, but had short runs. And it's an open market because there's really no one that's really have conquered that market yet. And I've been pulling this together for several years, as you know, Simon, and with the 24-hour channel, we're now rolling out Urban Home Shopping Network and something called the Urban Shopping Experience. We are getting ready to have a live shopping event in spaces where we have designers and we have commentators and we have products and vendors. And it's invite only, but it will be filmed, and the audience will be able to purchase the items on from TV through our QR code. They can go directly to, we have a shopping site which we're populating right now. I have many new stores coming on, and so I'm very, very excited about that. It is it's a version of QVC, and then our next phase will be our featured products that would be fulfilled, because we have deals with fulfillment company. We have a fulfillment company deal now, and we have an 800 number, because you have to have all of that stuff, and it's going to be really funky. We're going to do something real urban. And it's going to be very exciting, and people are just really excited about this. And I'm excited about it because now you really needed a 24-hour channel to do this, because now we can not only have our channel, but we can actually stream in different places products and services that we that are representing, and give these small businesses an opportunity to get their wares out and to get out there and make sales, because that's the whole big thing right now. As you know, brick and mortar stores are just they're having a hard time. They're reinventing themselves, and so people are shopping online right now. But there's still no one really catering. I have a colleague that does something called Big Shop Black, but they're on YouTube. So there's really not there's not a television channel out here doing this, and we're going to be the first. And I'm very excited about being the first, and we're going to be the best. So
they'll be coming to take the service as a 24-hour net.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
And when we're looking for a rollout.
Well, we're going to start rolling out the shopping within the channel we have, and that's going to start in November. So we're going to have we're going to roll out periodically, you know, shopping shows like you have the jewelry show and you have this like that. So we're going to start. We're starting with the shopping events. The shopping events will be probably a couple of hours. And they'll start in November and go out through and run out through the holiday season. And that will give small businesses the opportunity for people to purchase small boutique-type items and items that are authentic, things from Africa, things that you would normally not see on a regular platform. So, FreeCast has no problems with that at all. As we get momentum, we'll have a separate channel just for that. What I like to do, I like to grow channels and things within the channel. Like my goal is to have a sports channel as well. But right now we're growing the Rucker basketball and all the things that we are looking at doing, soccer from Africa and all of that. That will roll out into a separate channel. And then the shopping will roll out into a separate channel because that's where everybody's watching right now. We want everyone to watch UBC TV on FreeCast on all devices. And there's some more this distribution coming up soon that we'll talk about. We'll do a follow-up. Some major distribution, the major platforms will be on as well. So that's going to really push us out there big time. So that's my goal. And that's how I've been able to stay in business. You know, it's crawl, walk, run, Simon. You take one step at a time, and you keep going and put it in front of your one foot in front of the other, and you end up where you're going to go. So the shopping is going to really it's explosive right now. So many people are excited about it. So we're in the process of vetting companies and getting them lined up right now, so where we can move forward this fall.
You mentioned Kevin Garnett earlier this half hour. I want to point out that he's also working on his own television network. He's working with a company called Ronin Media Networks. We had people from Ronin on our show this spring. Apparently, the strikes may have also prevented his service from going on, and we're staying in touch with Ronin, and hopefully when Kevin Garnett is ready to talk about the service and when it will finally launch, we hope to have him on this program at a future date. Before you go, Peggy, how do you see interactivity playing a role in UBC or or your home shopping service, especially given the fact that now we seem to be, as I mentioned with our interview the last half hour with Tom and Ash from Orbit, that we seem to be on the precipice of this era of interactive television where you can use smart TV sets with artificial intelligence software in so that you can order products and services, do all sorts of things with your voice remote, or in the case of games, a joystick, so that the era of interactive TV is happening. Where do you see interactivity coming into play with UBC?
Well, I see it immediately. One of the reasons is because of the shopping. Because you see now more things on TV with QR codes, and you see more things now where people are beginning to order. So I feel that's where, you know, I've always wanted to go. I've always wanted to, it's so weird. So many years ago when I first was thinking about this, I was thinking about interactive television. And I was thinking of, well, we can just buy things from TV and we can interact with it, voice and all of that, because I think all those things are about ready. I think the regulatory situation is changing in the favor for broadcast TV, and I think broadcast is really going to do well with interactive TV. So I'm hearing we're talking to some major broadcasters as well who are looking to possibly put some of our content launch on their platforms as well. But what they like about what I'm talking about is the interactive TV, where you can purchase things, you can purchase tickets and things of that nature. We have a pay-per-view platform. We have a ticketing platform that we're looking to integrate into our television. So I've been working on that for about 2 years. So, you know, you work on things behind the scenes for years, and then you start rolling it out one thing at a time. There's so much technology out here. But the consumer has to be able to adapt to it and see it as a regular part of their lifestyle on a daily basis. And that's why
could
I went
see
with the lifestyle.
Way, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but could you see, because mm-hmm. we're running out of time, could you see this also with scripted television, like the choose your own adventure or choose your own plot line or choose your own character and follow that character, let's say?
I think that it would work to a degree, Simon. But for me, I'm about telling the story. I like to see surprises. It's like reading a good book, and it's like watching a television series. Surprise me. Take me on a journey. I think that is going to work, but only to a certain degree, and that's my opinion. It may be wildly successful. But in the realm of storytelling, there are some things that you have alternative endings, and some of them are not used there in the real shows. They're left on the table. But those are director's cuts. You can have an alternative ending in a director's cut. Now, that would work. I think that would work really well. But in a realm of really seeing TV and doing storytelling, I think people like to go on a journey without having to manipulate it themselves. And that's my opinion about, you know, dramas and things like that. I love good dramas. Take me on a journey. But the director's cut, let me have some fun. So I think both will work.
If you want to know more about Peggy's venture, UBC TV Network, which is now available through Freecast on smart TV sets and devices like Apple TV, operating system, Android TV, sets with that, Amazon Fire TV, Samsung, LG, et cetera, here's where you go online, www.ubctvnetwork.com. That's www.ubctvnetwork.com. And if you want to find out more about Freecast, which is the multi-channel bundle that you can find UBC and other networks, by the way, many, many more, including many original networks owned and managed and produced by people of color, go to freecast.com, freecast.com. And if you want to get the scoop on when the Urban Home Shopping Network will get off the ground, here's a special website for that, urbanhomeshoppingnetwork.com. Peggy Dotson, thank you very much for coming on. Thrilled that finally, after so many years, fits, starts, ups, downs, et cetera, and pandemic, UBC is finally off the ground, and we will soon talk about the possibility of SmartBee Televised being part of your network. It's been great to have you back.
Thank you, Simon. Great to be here. Have a great day.
You too, and a superb weekend. Take care, and stay dry.
Okay, I will. I will. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.
You too. Peggy Dotson, President, Chief Executive Officer of UBC TV Network, joining us live from Harlem in Nueva York. More SmartBee Televised coming your way. First, some words from the people at Wild. Are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Give Wild a try. You know, Wild deodorant has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. I just got it earlier this week. It's marvelous. I got the new one, Amber and Oud, and use it. Great scent. Great use, and it definitely freshens you anytime for any occasion. Now, Wild comes in a variety of scent and color combinations like jasmine, mandarin blossom, fresh cotton, sea salt, and there's no harsh chemicals to fret about. If you want a refill, it gets delivered right to your door. That's how I got mine earlier this week. So go Wild today with a special discount of 25% off your first order when you use promo code SIMONAPPLE04 at checkout. Go to wearewild.com and use the promo code SIMONAPPLE04 at checkout today. Enjoy. When we come back, we will finally have news notes, our classic trivia question, our takeaway of the week, the sustainable TV scam. I'll tell you how we heard about it. And finally, our show to know. It takes place on Disney Plus and ESPN Plus this Sunday morning. All that after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 90 million lists around the world every month, and growing. If you love great radio drama from the 1940s and 50s, check out Eerie House. Tonight's event, Death Takes No Holiday. Great for pre-Halloween listening. Today, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, only on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget Best BTR, Eerie House, and more right here at YouTube.com 24/7. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy to have you with us. Simon Applebaum along for the ride with you, and welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour, 61 degrees. It has become less rainy and cloudy over the last half hour. And if you have a question or comment, make the call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers good anywhere. You can catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And don't forget the chat room, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04, actually. And you'll find out our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. This half hour is brought to you by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. And before we get to everything else in this half hour, let's give you, at last, news notes. Fireside, the ambitious interactive TV platform co-funded and founded by sports and media entrepreneur Mark Cuban, is now an attraction on Amazon Fire TV. That's the first smart TV set or device maker to run Fireside's content over TV sets. Until now, Fireside, which started, I believe, in 2021, played only on smartphones, computers, and tablets. Milan Fatemi, Fireside's chief executive, discussed the arrangement in public yesterday at the big TV conference here in New York. She suggested other smart TV product makers may affiliate with Fireside in the coming months. Earlier this week, Fireside became the first outlet of Fashionista, billed as the first interactive fashion-centric service. Over the course of this month, Amazon has put several TV projects in motion, from launching an interactive advertising unit with Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment Services as the first client, to creating and deploying a new group of artificial intelligence-powered applications on Amazon Fire TV sets and streaming sticks. With Writers Guild of America membership back on the TV writing business, Talk and Talk Variety programming is now coming back, that was in dormant or rerun status the last 5 months. It is getting back on the air with new episodes. Bill Maher's real-time series begins this movement later tonight on HBO. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver resumes its own HBO run Sunday, with late night host Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Seth Meyers ready to restart Monday. And a few hours ago, The Jennifer Hudson Show announced plans to open Season 2 in daytime syndication Monday. The opening guest lineup includes Taye Diggs and Cedric the Entertainer. A pair of quickies for you. ABC will become the new network broadcaster for iHeartRadio's annual Jingle Ball Tour Highlight Special. Look for it there December 21st or on Hulu the day after. Full disclosure, iHeartRadio's podcast network is one of our podcast affiliates. And Emily in Paris is expected to film its fourth Netflix season in Paris next January. Due to the Summer Olympics there, any TV series in Paris location production in mind will have to do so by June 2024 or wait until fall. And that is news notes for today. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. We've been offering it for the last nearly 2 weeks, so it's your final chance on our program to win yourself a quartet of prizes if your first is the correct answer by email. We've got the AMC Networks provided Uber card. We've got two wonderful musical CDs, the collection of Chicago's greatest hits like If You Leave Me Now, 25 and 6 to 4 and others, and the Lifetime Women in Rock collection with such great people as Laura Branigan, Bananarama, Lyta Ford, The Bangles, Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics, and more. And we've got the great book by Emmy-winning writer-producer of Northern Exposure fame, Jeff Melbourne, who was on this program some time back. It's called Running the Show, Television from the Inside. It's all yours if you know the answer to this question. Complete the title of this 1990s Nickelodeon hit, The Secret World, blank, blank, blank. Complete the title of this 1990s Nickelodeon hit series, The Secret World, blank, blank, blank. If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, enclose your name and where you're emailing from. So if you're first with that correct answer and you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. If you are a previous winner or a guest of this program, you are not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning, Saturday, on Facebook and X, also known as Twitter. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon. TWBT. X. Facebook at Simon Applebaum. X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. And we, by the way, had that part of the address as part of UBC. So they were an influence in that address. And we did at a time that the service was getting ready to go on the air. So once again, the question, complete the title of this 1990 Nickelodeon hit, The Secret World, blank, blank, blank. Four prizes can be yours. Get in the act today. And remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do it now. And all the very best. Coming up next, we have our takeaway of the week, the sustainable TV scam, and our show to know. But first, a wonderful message from the people at BlendJet. If your blender is bulky, doesn't work great, is a pain to operate, well, give BlendJet the opportunity to make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks for you and make it an easy pleasure. BlendJet is so portable to work up a smoothie at the office, your favorite protein booster at the gym, or a poolside margarita. It's quiet to operate and rechargeable on the go. So what are you waiting for? Go to BlendJet.com, BlendJet.com, and grab yours today. And be sure to use the promo code TELEVISED to get 12% off your order and free two-day shipping. Blend anytime, anywhere with BlendJet. How do you do it? Go to BlendJet.com and grab yours today. Just be sure to use the promo code TELEVISED, T-L-E-V-I-S-E-D, to get 12% off your order and free two-day shipping. What a deal that is. So blend anytime, anywhere with BlendJet. And now it's time for our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week, where we highlight a development or two that takes place during the week that we think you ought to know about because it could impact how you watch and use TV down the road. Our takeaway this week we call the sustainable TV scam. And we learned about it along with other people on Wednesday afternoon as part of the big TV conference here in New York over at the Edison Ballroom, the upstairs part of the ballroom in the Edison Hotel itself. By the way, if you ever want to do ballroom dancing and they have an event there, go to it. It's a fantastic place. Woman is a supper club over on 47th Street near Times Square and Broadway. Now, first of all, big TV conference was fantastic this year. I want to congratulate Synopsis and all the people there for doing a great job the last 2 days. Wonderful people there, made a lot of contacts. Terrific subject matter, covered a lot of bases in television. By the way, some of the people that we saw either speaking there or we met there, we will have them on future episodes of this program, so stay tuned for that. And on Wednesday afternoon, with a surprise for everybody, a pair of people who were not scheduled, at least not in the official program, to be there, were there before the last panel of the day. And they were there to talk about how TV, the TV industry, can be more sustainable. I am not going to name who the people were or where they came from because I don't, as you will hear, I don't think you want to hear, I don't think you want to know who these people are. And what they were doing is talking, having a one-on-one dialogue in conversational format about how the TV industry could be more sustainable. Here's one of the first things that they said, and I'm sort of paraphrasing. Broadcast and cable are better for the environment than streaming. Let me say it again. Broadcast, cable are better for the environment than streaming. That means mega content services like Netflix and Disney Plus and Paramount Plus and Max and so forth. Not to mention all the other services like Peggy's service, UBC Network, that are running through smart TV sets and smart devices, and those products themselves, and the multi-channel bundles run through them. And as soon as I heard that comment, the spidey sense inside me was like a fire alarm going full blast. And what it was saying was, what are these people saying? It comes across like these people have not done their homework about how a TV program is produced, how a TV network is organized, how a TV network operates, programming and technology-wise, how smart TV sets and devices operate, and so on. And as they talked on, the point they were making was that services through smart TV sets and smart devices and those products were the largest makers of carbon emission, the largest demand of carbon emission. And you wondered, where the heck did they come up with this research? And who's providing this research? And was this like, you know, just talking to one broadcast company or network, one TV station owner, one mega content service, one cable operator, one cable program. They even said that 5G networks are not efficient when it comes to sustainability and climate change, that 4G was more efficient. And they made a bunch of recommendations to the industry, to people producing programs, and to the public. And I want to just bring some of them to light for you. For example, we're talking about the TV industry at large. You know, for example, purchasing energy-efficient equipment, you know, changing the infrastructure, using wired rather than wireless technology, give people longer subscription plans if they're doing subscription services, digital price, apply carbon pricing to subscription prices, adopt video streaming devices in unique ways, and hire someone to monitor the situation with electricity. One of the big points they were making, this twosome, was that particularly networks and services and smart TV set many devices and services going through them use far more electricity than broadcast or cable, whether broadcast networks, cable networks, broadcast cable stations, and operators. Where the heck did this research come up? Who's providing this research? How can you make a conclusion like that? And here's what they said should be done by TV television producers. Use existing footage. Film in lower resolution. Command to slower movement. Or do cinematography that moves slower. Soundtrack work. I wonder what music composers and editors have to say about that. Use low resolution or low animation techniques. And do a small file program. It sounds like we're going backward with technology, not forward. We're being less innovative, not more. Who came up with this? And then here's what they encourage you, the viewer, to do. For example, this was the first one. Stop watching mega content and other content through smart TV set device shows and watch more broadcast and cable. How do you come up with that conclusion? Do you believe that the TV audience are a bunch of morons? What level of intelligence do they think you have? Do these people want to have you, the viewer, not determine whether you watch a particular show or a network by the quality of the program, by how it matches your taste, by how good the service itself is and its customer service? They want you to determine what you watch by the amount of electricity as they see it? Unbelievable. Moronic. And I don't use that word often. Moronic. And, yeah, use green alternatives and watch a smaller TV set. Aha. If you like, your TV, high definition, wow, that sets that back. Turn to the green button on your remote control. Have less resolution on your television set. And use a tool to monitor your services. And keep your current TV set for longer periods of time. In other words, don't buy a new set. Don't buy a new device. All in the interest of sustainability. And my conclusion, and by the way, when these two people finished their talk, here's what they received. The applause that was very polite, very, very polite. And the takeaway for me from that is what they were selling or trying to sell to the audience was a scam. Let's call it for what it is. This is a scam. I tend to think that the research that they were showing there was gobbledygook, couldn't be backed up, could very easily be discounted by other folks. And we should point out that there was no balance here. There was nobody else. It was just these two people. Nobody else was on this at this event or at this session. So let's call this for what it is. It is a scam. Now, I don't know what kind of blowback the big TV conference people said, but and I'm not being sarcastic about this. I want to thank the Big TV Conference organizers for having these two people on and exposing them to the audience there, because I, for one, did not know about them and other advocates of climate change, sustainability, that may be targeting television. So good for Big TV Conference. Rather, these people get exposed for the kind of fraudulent business they're trying to drum up than not. And I really hope that, A, these people don't show up again. B, that if there's anybody else who are climate change or sustainability advocates, that they really think long and hard about trying to target on television. And if you're going to target TV, you better have your research ready. You better be right. You better have all your ducks crossed in a row. Because what these two people said was just so moronic, so stupid, and really trying to, you know, fool the intelligence of the audience, and maybe ultimately, if they had more of a say, you, the TV viewer. So kudos to Big TV Conference for bringing these people to light so that people like me, who, now I'm not a sustainability expert, I'm not a expert on climate change, that's not my field, journalism and television is my field, covering the TV world, I know my television. And this presentation had so many holes in it, you could, Swiss cheese. And I hope that the new Streaming Innovation Alliance, as well as the Independent Streaming Alliance, I hope they're on the prowl to find and weed out people like this and show them up for the scammers they are. This is a bad scam. And you, the TV viewer, really, I think, need to know more about this and be aware of this. Incidentally, if people along these folks or others would like to come on this program, I'll be very happy to have them on with one condition, that there's balance, that we have somebody from a broadcast network, a cable network, a mega content service, a smart TV set maker, another technology expert to give their side of the story. We're not out to showcase scams. We're out to showcase television the way it is. And, yes, we do cover controversy. And this shouldn't be one of them. And, by the way, if you hear about it, please let me know. We'll bring them to light in this program. So, again, thank you, Big TV Conference. And, again, congratulations on the job you did. Really, terrific, terrific, terrific. Okay. And I'd love to hear what you think. Give me a call. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, at simonapple04. Just Northwest Media, by the way, just come to our chat room. If you have a question or comment, put in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906, the time you have left. Time very quickly for our show to know. As a show that is running this Sunday on Disney Plus and ESPN Plus. This spring, Disney Channel and Disney Plus presented a very unusual presentation of a National Hockey League game, regular season. As the game was playing on ESPN, Disney Channel converted its screen into a live animated creation of the game. So the game was going on using stats, using computer animation, motion capture technology. They turned the game into a replica of their popular animated series, Big City Greens, with some of the characters, with an ice hockey rink, and they showed the action live, animated form in real time, as the game was going on live on ESPN. Well, this Sunday, when the Jacksonville Jaguars played the Atlanta Falcons live from Wembley Stadium in London on ESPN Plus, which is exclusive to them, the game live, Toy Story Fun Day Football will be taking place 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, start time, 6:00 p.m. Pacific on p.m. Pacific, on Disney Plus and ESPN Plus. So what's going to happen is that through motion capture, through special stats provided, lightning quick by the NFL, and animation, including artificial intelligence, what's going to happen is that the characters of Toy Story, including Buzz Lightyear and crew, will be playing that game in Andy's room, football field on the floor. I've seen the clips from the promos for it. It is amazing. And keep your eye on this, because if this works, we're going to see more efforts, more ambitious efforts, and not just one-shot specials, at real-time animation, not just sports, series, movies, et cetera, done live. This is a huge animation breakthrough that's coming to light. So if you can, check it out. That's our show to know. To infinity and beyond with Toy Story Fantasy Football or Fun Day Football. Toy Story Fun Day Football comes your way on ESPN Plus and Disney Plus. That's this Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 6:30 a.m. Pacific. Check it out. I'll have more to say about it probably this coming week on Sports Newswire on Sports Grid Network. And it should be really, really interesting. And if you want to see the game, of course, live action, not animated, takes place Sunday on ESPN Plus as well, separate feed. If you have an idea for a show to know, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Tell me the name of the show, when it's running, why you think it's important. Make sure it's a show that many people don't know about because it's not well-marketed, or well-publicized, or falls on the radio screen of critics and people like yours truly. And if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. So we won't know unless you tell us. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Or find us on social media, LinkedIn and Facebook at Simon Applebaum, and X or Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Again, I want to thank our great guests, Tom Rogers and Ash Kusa from Orbit Gaming Entertainment, and Peggy Dotson of UBC Member for joining us. And we'll be back with three episodes coming your way next week. First one, 90-minute edition on Monday. Joining us will be Let's Make a Deal executive producer John Quinn, Belonging creator and star Eric Baer, and from In the Black Network's first new series, panel series, Crowded, executive producers Doc Salida Thompson and Jerome Trammell. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, throughout the weekend, you can check us out on our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, and on a podcast on our wonderful set of podcast sites, including the iRadio Podcast Network, Zencaster Creator Network, Odyssey, that's AUDACY, formerly CBS Radio, Acast, Luminary, so many, many more. Love to hear with you. What do you think about our program today? And what's your thoughts about where TV's at, where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Sooner you respond, sooner I respond back to you within 24 hours. That's our promise. And what you say matters now more than ever. And again, if you're in the New York metro area, there is more rain coming your way late this afternoon, tonight, in tomorrow morning. If you don't need to go out, don't. If you do, use mass transit if you can. If there's an event you're going to, go find the event internet page or website or Facebook page and find out if it's still going on. And, of course, if you're trying to travel either in or out of New York City by air or by bus or by train, please check in with your carrier so that you're okay with that. The views expressed are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio and other series of this program. And chose B. Charles, General Manager, Jay Steinberg, as head of content. Website certified by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. Charles Vegas is our web coordinator. Probably Televised is brought today by BlendJet, the portable blending lane you make fresh smoothies, shades, or mixed drinks on the go, wherever you go. By Wild, the reusable, refillable natural donut that's kind to your body and the planet. And by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being. Probably Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great weekend. Hang in with the rain. We will all get through it. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our web and podcast destinations. And before we go, a quick shout-out to my brother Gary's wonderful daughter, Taryn Alexa, and her wonderful beau, Ernest. They're getting married tomorrow in Savannah, Georgia. All the greatest. Mwah. Take care. Have a great start to your wonderful life in union together starting tomorrow. Remember, we'll be back on Monday. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe and make it great, including both of you, Taryn Alexa and Ernest. Love you always and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.